Well, let me call us back together. We're in our home stretch. Rich, what are we looking at on time for you as far as you think we'll get done by around noon then? Okay. Well, what we'll do is about 12 o'clock we'll wrap up then and pray together. We'll probably have to slip out. I don't know how they're going to arrange the food. They usually ask us to get out of the way so they can get in here and get everything moved around and set up. And so we'll probably slip out for about 10 minutes or so around noon and then come back and be able to have lunch in here. All right. Well,
I'll do this one more time.
You know, this is really a treat for me. I'm used to working out with the pastors, and, you know, we discuss strategy and tactics and how we're going to do this and how we're going to do that, and we pray. And but it's neat for me to come out and share a little bit of this with you along the way. Okay, I want to talk to you this tiny bit about I am a very boring person. I read things like Clausewitz and Jomny. Has anybody ever heard those names, Clausewitz, Jomny? Those, if you ever want, the word strategy comes from the military. It's a military term. Clausewitz and Jomny both watched Napoleon and Frederick the Great, and they wrote about this. And those are the seminal books, pretty boring unless you enjoy it, about how to think strategic and how to act. And I've been doing this for some time. I taught the War College and some other areas, and it's not the cat's meow. It's just a piece of paper, but it's a piece of paper that can be fundamentally found just tremendous if used with the right kind of heart and with the ability to mobilize people and come around it. But this is how I've coined defined city-reaching strategy. It's the art of bringing all available spiritual resources into a favorable position that maximizes the opportunity to effectively transform a city's future. At the end of the day, that's the basis of what you're trying to do, is bring all available spiritual resources into the right favorable position so that you can maximize all the opportunities that you have. Okay, and here's another strategic point you need to know, and that's tipping points. Now, we've probably heard these brought up several times. A tipping point is the moment of critical mass. It's a threshold, the boiling point. The possibility of a sudden spiritual change is at the center of the idea of spiritual tipping points. And this is what we're looking for. I would say that you're going to see in any ministry, local church, association, state, about 10% or less will be your initial coalition of the willing to go forward to do any kind of project. The goal is that this group be composed of the most part, strongest, most focused church ministries. You want the influencers to be a part of this 10%. The boiling point or threshold in this illustration is when the 10% influence another 30 to 40% in an association or group of churches, and thus the coalition of the willing reaches a critical mass of cooperating and committed churches. To tell you a story, a good friend of mine, Gary Frost, he worked in, is he, the guy's from Ohio, you remember Gary Frost, he was in Youngstown. Gary is a pastor, he's in, pastoring a church in Brooklyn, New York right now. And Gary's a great brother in Christ, and I've known him for years. His story is remarkable. He pastored a Southern Baptist church in Youngstown, Ohio, in 1993. There were so many murders and corruption that the churches came together. They asked Gary to lead a weekly prayer 40 days before Easter, and the outcome was that, get this, 40 days of prayer before Easter, all homicides ceased. Not just some, all. But once they quit meeting for prayer, the murders returned. And so the pastors became desperate. They formed the Greater Youngstown Coalition of Christians and went across and went across all ethnic, race, and geographic lines. Tony Evans came and provided an emphasis on Ephesians for 4 days about what the church was all about. They began to pray against the crime, kingpins, and what came out of this was this following. One congressman was jailed, one sheriff and two judges went to jail. Out of this, 300 Jubilee homes were built for the poor and elderly. The casino gambling was voted down. They purchased a 1,500 square foot high school for a charter school. And then Grace Place Medical Center was built for free service for medical treatment for the poor. Now this was done with 300 to 400 churches. There are 300 to 400 churches in the county. 65 churches agreed to the purpose and objectives of this movement. 35 financially gave to one or more, or came to one or more events. 15 made a difference. 15 churches of 2,000 in size and 60 people came together. Those 15 churches. Out of a population of 280 people. There's the Gideon rule, so to speak, here. I think that, you know, you start small and it goes large. You've got to get like-minded people to come along and get to this tipping point. You do the right things right again and again and again. And at one point, by doing the right things right, you'll see a tipping point where things will take off. Where people want to join in, where people are excited, where God is moving in a lot of different areas. It's a very key thing about strategy, and it all starts with having an initial coalition of the willing. And very, very important as you move forward. So I try to keep that principle in mind, and hopefully that'll help you along the way. It's also about changing behavior. Okay, urban practice. It's not what you say, it's what you do. Studies show that over the last 50 years, get this, a whopping 83% of corporate America slowdowns are attributable not to outside economic forces, but to the lack of vigilant follow-through within the company itself. Now, what have I been talking about all day long? Follow-through, thinking about things, having a process. If 83% of all corporate turnarounds fail, what does that say about in the church? A new pastor comes in. You've got to have systems, process. You've got to think through how to follow through with your plan. Okay, leadership. Again, I've said that it's key in all respects. Rocky Taylor. Rocky is a pastor in Cleveland, Ohio, had a church of 75 people. He's been there 10 years. He's bivocational. This is a typical pastor in our denomination. Solid, spiritual man. In his own words, not mine, he thought he had arrived. That's it. We bump up to 90 every once in a while, maybe 100, and that's it. That's church. Then we showed him preservation evangelism. We brought in volunteers. We said, Pastor, what's God saying to you? He said, well, I think we need to do something with sports. No problem. He did sport camps. We supported him with volunteer teams and others. 200 people showed up. The first year, he baptized 25 people. This last year, 18 or 19 people he baptized. The church has gone to 125. And it's locked in. It's not going back down. He's at the 125, 130 mark now. He talks like he has been saved. He said, I never knew we worked together. I never knew Southern Baptists volunteered and supported each other. I never knew we could see church grow like this. And he was coached all along the way. He was helped all along the way. Now, here's another issue that Rocky knows he's going to have to do. I've talked about that before. And, of course, all the DOMs know what I'm about to say. Now that he's grown to 125 and he's been a smaller church over here, he's got to do different things now. He's got to give it away, and that's a new challenge because he's never done that before. It's a new way of doing church. As you grow, there's new issues of leadership. And so now what we've done is we put him beside a couple pastors, not even local, from other parts of the country that are at 200 and 275 that have actually gone through the same story he went through that are coaching him. Isn't that cool? Okay. Now, seasoning. Folks, we've got to have some seasoning. It's a lot better when you have salt on your food. And it's a lot better when you have your salted a little bit in life. And the best way to do that is you young men, some of us are a little older here, but some of you young men, I want to tell you one of the best things you can do. I want you to follow the Lord, but in general, best thing you can do is really not necessarily go plant a church. Best thing for you to do is become an associate on staff with a dynamic guy that's planting a church that's already done it once. He's planting his second church or something. Learn from him. Get on the staff of a church of 500-600 people. Clean the toilets. Do the babies. Do everything. I had to do all that. Learn about church. Learn what it means. Earn your stripes. Then go out and plant in a church. You'll be so much better off. And you'll also know what you like and you don't like and what you can do and what you can't do. Now, I'm not saying some of you can go right out the door and plant a church. And that's fine. And that's good. I'm not saying that. But seasoning is so important. Grab a mentor. And I suspect the DOMs in this room and the state workers would agree with me. I bet I'm not saying something they wouldn't agree with. I wish there's so many young men that if you just have a chance to get seasoned for a season, no pun intended, it will make you so much stronger. Very, very important. Very, very important. Okay, I want to talk to you about some cutting-edge ministries, things that we've seen that have made a difference in urban ministry, and they actually make a difference anywhere. First of all, it's prayer. We were mobilizing people to be in a prayer network. We had a website. We had a prayer chain, all the things you can imagine. It went pretty good. We got up to maybe 5,000 to 10,000 people, which is a lot. It's very good. Then I went to Cleveland. We found out the guy that the gentleman who was really the key to mobilizing prayer in that region was an African-American pastor that was not Southern Baptist. And so we brought him on board. We made him a staff member and asked him to mobilize prayer. Of course, that immediately made it across denominational lines. If there's anything we can do together, folks, it is prayer. Okay? It has got to be prayer. And I told him, and I gave him my, you know, they say I put them all through boot camp. I think they're ridiculous. I don't think I'd do that. But anyway, he was saying, because I was challenging him, I said, okay, we've got to move this along. We've got to have more people praying. We've got to intersect with larger groups of people. And so he started thinking. He said, you know what? Let's go to networks. I said, okay, what do you mean? Well, there's other prayer networks out there, various names, different groups of people. Why don't we connect with those key people and and see if they'll agree with praying for us and add them in? I said, well, let's try it. Well, all said and done, in Cleveland we had over 53,000 people as intercessors. 53,000 people because we tried to do something unique and different. We worked in networks. Yes, there's people that are charismatic. Yes, there are people that are Presbyterian. But there's a whole lot of Southern Baptists and everything, and we're all praying for one thing. We're praying for Cleveland, Ohio, to have spiritual transformation and change. And guess what? Every one of you church planters had, get this, 1,000 people praying for you every day. That's pretty cool. And you had a special email account or website where you sent out your prayer request to this 1,000 people, and they heard about what was going on. If there was a block party, if there was some kind of event, they heard about it. And guess what? I had, as I said before, we had actually 2,000, but I had 1,000 confidential, mature intercessors. We could pray for things that are sensitive by name. That's terrific. We pray for sensitive things. You know, there's an issue in a guy's life. We could pray for that. Man, it's amazing to see what, you know, again, if you want to see prayer effective, talk to the Korean church. Talk to the Chinese church. Those people pray. And they're seeing some remarkable things. God says, knock, and I'll give it to you. You know, be persistent. And intercessors are so key. So that's one ministry. So what I would say is be creative. Don't just think in Southern Baptist circles. Think about how can I mobilize on multiple levels. And all it takes is a website, a prayer, and it's got to be, you've got to have somebody that's willing to work and get the information out to the people and back. It's got to be a closed loop system there, communication-wise. Okay, community impact. Fresh Cloak Cleveland. Again, I told you part of the story. We went to the mayor's office. What can we do to assist you? They came back and said, well, can you paint these homes? Well, what we did was we were mobilized, and we went with Sherwin-Williams, with about 17 different businesses, and we said, we're going to do this for the community, and we meant it. Well, they were really cautious, both the business and the city, and they said, well, they just were very bold, and they said, okay, how are you going to do this? Sharing, you know, we told them we were going to share the gospel. I said, well, how are you going to do that? What if they don't want to hear about it? Well, then we won't share it. I said, well, walk me through how that works. Okay. Well, what we're going to do is we're going to get on the ladder. We're going to be painting. I said, hi, my name's Rich. What's yours? I'm Bill. Well, great. Well, where are you from? Well, I'm from a couple blocks away, or I'm from downtown. Great. I said, and along the way, I said, well, Bill, you know, you want to know why I'm doing this? I said, well, sure, I'd like to know. You start sharing the gospel. You tell them, you know, Jesus changed my life. Well, and then she interrupted. She was the deputy secretary for housing. She goes, well, what if they say I don't want to hear about that? Then we say, okay, great. We talk about Cleveland Indians. You know, you know what she said? Fantastic. Share the gospel. Now, let me tell you an extra step that's really good. After they saw we were being effective, they said, you know, we have a problem. People that, two things. One, we need to paint street numbers on the curb, and we don't have enough people to go around in these areas where you're going to be. Can you do some of that for us? And would you go to the door and give them some material from the city? Yes, but can we share the gospel? Oh, yes, don't worry about that. Share the job. Yeah, go ahead. Here we have the city telling us to go paint numbers and to give information that's relevant to them from the city, and we're sharing the gospel with their blessing. Okay, now that was not manipulative. That was, we were talking to the folks, we were listening to them, and we were honest. You're not hiding anything, and they're opening the doors. It happened in the schools, it happened everywhere. You've got to learn how to speak cross-culturally. Now, today, here's the best part of this. You're not catalytic if you do something and you walk away and it falls apart. Now, not everything you do in ministry is going to stay together. We know that. I'm very happy with this. The local churches took this over. You already know the mayor's office is excited about that. We knew that we were going to have to pull back with the number of homes. So if they want us to paint 50 this next year, we know we couldn't do that because strategic focus cities, we're moving into another city in Baltimore. And so they did not necessarily have all the manpower, the mobilization of people. Well, God is cool. We knew that with locally, they owned it, they could probably paint 20 homes. Well, Promise Keepers is coming to town. They had a project they were going to do. It completely fell apart. They, God thing, met with one of our guys from one of our churches that's leading this ministry. He said, well, by the way, we do Fresh Coat Cleveland. That's a great idea. That's a great idea. Can we do that? Of course you can do that. Well, now it looks like it's going to go up to 30 or 40 homes. The point is this. It's not just Cleveland. It's the whole region area. We've got homes that are being painted, and we're doing it because we care about people that have a need. We're sharing the gospel as God opens doors. Are there a lot of people getting saved right now? No. We had about 90 people come to know the Lord. So is it the most productive fruit-bearing activity right now? No. But look at the other fruit. You've got to look beyond just getting a notch in your holster. We're changing the community, the mayor's office, the community leaders. They speak, and by the way, up in Ohio, Baptists are more considered a cult than they are evangelical or anything else. You go to Cleveland, it's even more so. Now the mayor's office, everybody else says, oh, Southern Baptists, those are the people that help you. Oh, Southern Baptists. And we have reporters. A reporter came out and did a story on us. We helped this 90-year-old lady with her house that she'd gotten taken to the cleaners by some painters and everything. And so we did all this. And you should see this lady. She's on TV, local. She goes,
These people are wonderful. These Southern Baptists are great people. You ought to get them over to your place, you know. And the reporter said, you know, if you guys ever need anybody out here to tell your story, you call me. I'll be here. When's the last time a reporter said that to you? He didn't. It just didn't happen. Okay. But we didn't do that for that. We did it because you're motivated. Go back to the heart. You go back to the heart. You do it because you care and you love people. You got to watch your motivations, because I guarantee you, the civil government, politicians and others, people, they can see right through you. And I'll just tell a quick story on myself real fast. I got to watch my time. Real story. I was out in Coney Island ministering to an Italian-born immigrant who had a World War II veteran. And we were sharing. We were going along fine. My wife was with me. And I meant well. And I asked him about Jesus and everything. And when we got through, I asked my wife, well, how do you think I did? You know. And Sandy goes, well, honey, you were just too much in a hurry. You didn't seem like you really cared about his story, about where he was coming from. You just wanted to hurry up and get Jesus out there, go to the next guy. I go, you know, I learned. My wife teaches me a lot, but the point is that it's so true. What are your real motivations? Is it to go out there and do the thing, or is it because you really care about people? It will come out, just like the missionary said. What's inside you will come out. It will come out. Another project. And by the way, Fresh Coat Cleveland could be anything. It's going to the city or going to business world with a real openness to serve and willing to do whatever it is, whether it's cleaning toilets or painting, whatever it is they need, not what you need, and then figuring out what you can deliver. By the way, everything we promised, we delivered. And that we were short because of rain real bad. We had to get some painters, professional painters, and pay them. They gave us a good rate because we were a Christian organization. But we had to pay for about four homes because we didn't have time, because it was getting late in the year. We wanted to fulfill our promise. We made our commitment. We came through. It made a big impression. Okay, church planting. The big movement now is church planting is taking on a big, strong movement in the local church. You hear about Vision 360 from down in Florida. You hear about Bob Roberts, which is a good friend, great church, GlocalNet, and what they're doing with churches around the world. There's associations that are off the charts that are doing it. Very important, though, that I personally believe that a couple things. DNA is important. How you start a church is absolutely critical. The ingredients. Are they set up for success? Are they evangelical? Are they going to be aggressive with their evangelism? Are they going to engage the community? Is this guy a leader? Have you really assessed him? Is he really entrepreneur? Does he know what he's doing to the extent that he knows how to lead church? And there's several other things, but DNA is very critical. Very important that in the cities, I see more and more the need, even though you're going to seminary now, a lot of times part of the seasoning, you can go to play, like in Cleveland right now, we have a church planting school. It's done by at CVC, which is Cuyahoga Valley Church, our largest Baptist church. They've taken ownership for church planting in the region. And so you go to their school for 9 months. You've got all these mentors and coaches. You got all these people helping you. They've linked with the local business community that are giving dollars to plant churches. Some of these people are not even Southern Baptists, by the way. And they're planting Southern Baptist churches and other like-minded churches in the community. And this money is helping partly sponsor these church planters. But more important to me is the seasoning that's coming from the school. You get seminary is fantastic. I love every bit of it. When you go out to the field, there's going to be a different culture. And these guys, and it gives you time to get to know the culture. And if you live there, that's so much the better. So those things are things that I'm seeing that are best practice, that are making a difference. And I, everywhere I go, I'm always looking for a church or churches that'll take ownership of church planting. Does that change what the association does? Yes, it does. It gives the DOM a lot of breath of fresh air. He can do other things by bringing other partners in and do a lot of other things if you have churches taking ownership of church planting. Okay, volunteers. Mobilization is very key. We've mobilized, like I said, 70,000 plus people. There's not an association or a group of churches anywhere that should not have a good mobilization plan. There are people that want to come out and do projects. You can start it even in your own association. Clear out one side of town to the other side of town and help each other out. Very, very important. And I can talk to you as time goes along if you have questions on how to do it. There's a lot of logistics to that. But you've got to advertise. You've got to communicate opportunities. You as a church, you've got to know what you're going to do the next summer. You cannot today, like today, you tell people what you're going to do this summer, forget it. People have already got their summer planned out. You've got to figure out by August or September what you're going to do next summer and give that to your DOM or whoever's going to do this or a group of churches to get that word out to the body of Christ so the others can make plans to come next summer or during spring break or get interns in. We're now seeing, we saw 200 interns come to Cleveland last year. I think I said that right. I think, I apologize, 50. 200 is what we're trying to get this year in a different city. 50 last year. So, and they went out with, wouldn't that be great? You're a pastor and you have one or two young interns. They're going to work all summer with you, help knock on doors, do all the ministry. That's a great thing. And there's a lot, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's young people in colleges right now that are just hungry to serve and waiting to serve. We're not giving them enough opportunity. One of the biggest growth areas in Southern Baptist life, bar none, is mobilizing people. That is one of the biggest. People are astonished. We came to Cleveland, we actually mobilized in 2 years over 10,000 people. Cleveland! It's not New York City. It is not Phoenix, Arizona. It's Cleveland. And people came to over 10,000 people to do and serve ministry, to serve the local church. You can do this. This is a key thing, and it's growing, and it's something I think we could all be a part of. Okay, kingdom partnerships. I've been speaking to this quite a bit along the way. Very, very important. I don't know that I really need to say a whole lot more. Let me just say this, is that evangelicals, we found a parachurch. Parachurches can be a great ministry. What's it called? Upwards cheerleading, Upwards soccer. It's a great parachurch. What we did in Cleveland, they came on board and said, hey, we'll do all these sports camps for you if you'll provide some organizational staffing to help connect us with churches. We said, great. That took a big burden off us. Wouldn't that be great as a DOM state convention or a group of churches or your church? An organization that can come in and help you set up some people that have competence in an area. Very good. It could be another ministry, by the way. That's just one. There's many we're working with now. So the point is think outside the box. Who can work with you and who you can work with? In the end, it's about attacking the gates of hell together. Okay. Evangelism that is accountable and creative. And I spoke about Upwards just then. I'll talk about VBS here. But you've heard me talk about accountability again and again. I think accountability and creativity are very, very important. Vacation Bible School. We were in Phoenix, Arizona about 10 years ago. And I, long story short, I knocked around ideal after ideal. What are we going to do that the church knows about and knows how to do that's effective, that's going to reach people? Well, I came across VBS and said, well, that's good, but now it's just not getting a lot of baptisms and at that time there. So I thought about it and I said, got creative. I said, okay, let's put a new coat of paint on it. It became programmatic because we made it programmatic. It used to be very evangelistic because we were evangelistic back then. So this is what I did. I'll get the short version because I'm running out of time. What I said was this. Okay. You come to training. You come to training and get equipped. I'm going to bring the best guy in the United States to talk to the pastors about how to share the gospel with children. That education, it was great. I brought a national team to teach how to do the VBS training to the churches with all the coaching. That was another. We got Lifeway gave us free material, VBS material to any church that had never done VBS. And free material above and beyond anything you did. Like you had 100 come last year and you said, I'm projecting 200 this year. They give you an extra 100 free after you pay for the first 100. So we had all that on the line. Then what it is, I gave a scholarship. That year I gave a $1,000 scholarship to every church that came and did all this. The scholarship was for this. It was for marketing. I brought in an expert on church marketing. I said, teach us how to use $1,000 effectively in our neighborhoods to get the word out about our VBS. And they did. Some of it was hangers on doors and all the things you can imagine, and several other things. He was very creative. And so this guy, and all the money had to be spent on that. Okay? So you're getting, all this stuff's getting out. Well, I went back, we got in the newspaper. We were going to do billboards, but we couldn't afford it. But we got in the newspaper and we got in some radio ads and things like that. And we said, and we didn't call it VBS, by the way. We figured we're reaching the lost, not Christians. So we called value-based, I think it was value-based, Mother's Week Out, something like that. And I'm butchering this, but you get the idea. But so we changed the name, being true that it was about, we were going to teach Christian values, and it was a camp and everything. But we didn't call it Vacation Bible School. That's an old name. It didn't connect. Okay, so we changed the name. We had money for marketing. We got all the churches out there. It was unbelievable. 25% of all the children who came to Vacation Bible School made professions of faith. 1 in 4 made professions of faith. The attendance was 300 times larger than anything they'd ever seen. Amazing. So what was the big difference? You tell me. What was the big difference? The population, yeah, but what was the key thing?
Preparation.
Excuse me. I my ears. Too many explosives.
Intentionality.
We were going after the lost. We were intentional about the lost. See, when we do something, you know, it's a real, by the way, it's easy to throw stones at our denomination. Well, VBS is old. Yeah, it's old because you made it old. Clean it up. Make it new. You know, it's you just got to be creative. You're going to, some of you guys are going to have new things you're going to invent. Great. We'll jump on board and join them. But I don't care what you're doing. It will come old when you're not, it's not relevant to the lost. Okay? That's the point. Okay. And follow through is key, by the way. Very, very key. In Baltimore, you see this picture all over the city. They're trying desperately to teach and to help people understand that they need to believe in themselves and believe in what God is, not God for them, but what they can do together as a city. And I took that and I thought that was very important because people really are looking for hope out in those cities every day. I'm going to finish up the last couple of slides with tithing back to the city. This is what I would recommend. This is just Richie Carney, okay? This is just me. I think that we need to have a vibrant prayer ministry, and I've already spoke to that, so I don't have to go into detail. I think we need to really kick it in gear. We could do it nationally. We could do it in a lot of different ways. But we've got to get focused on our prayer. All nations, we need to integrate the International Mission Board, just like the Chinese Christians, and we need to put missionaries everywhere. We need to, this is just my personal opinion. I'm speaking for myself and myself only when I say this. I really would like to see us more integrated. See missionaries that are going to start churches in large cities with ethnic populations, and then they go with these people back home. And I think that'll be that's a very effective way. I at least like to explore it. Church strengthening, leadership development, in appropriate verbal and written language and at a below-cost level, because most of these groups in the cities cannot afford the materials that we see published. And so that's a key issue. Strong seminary focus for students to become true international missionaries in our major cities. Internships, urban learning institutes. I commend Southern. I'm a little biased, but Southern is doing a great job in that area. Especially they're involved in New York and other major areas like this. And so they're trying to do this or seeking to do this. And I would encourage others. We need to have that kind of, and we need students. It would be a blessing to me if many of you decided to go into urban ministry. Man, I could connect you with guys, but you got to come as a missionary. You can't come as, I know you're American by birth, for most of you, and culture. You got to come as a true missionary. You're not going to have the fancy car. You're not going to have the salary. You're going to have to live like the people you're going to live with. Okay? God will take care of the rest of it along the way. But it can be so much fun, and you can have such joy if you're doing it with a team of people. We got to reach out to the business community. There should today, there should be lay people here. There should be businessmen in this room. There should be, everywhere we go. I'm more and more connecting with businessmen everywhere. These people got skills that I will never have. They've got influence you'll never have. They're going to be able to do things. You got problems in a big city about worship. You can't buy buildings in cities. You're just not going to. You're going to rent facilities. Oh, I know Fred. Fred's got office space. He's got 10,000 square foot. He needs a write-off. You can have that tomorrow. Yeah, you know, you got to get out there and Oh, by the way, I'll make my point biblically. The 12 disciples were who? Every single one of them were businessmen. Point made. They were not spiritual leaders of the community. Okay, willingness to go deeper and stay longer until the ministry is sustainable. That's very key. Now, I don't mean welfare. I'm very much not pro-welfare, ministerial welfare. I'm not for that. Where you pour money into something and it doesn't last. I pour something in, I expect it to grow. That's why I have good accountability and why we have follow-up. You add those other ingredients in there, it's going to have a life of its own. It's going to grow. So you got to think about that. That's very important. But you got to be willing to stay a little longer. It takes longer. Okay, we desperately need a man of peace who can communicate the need for moving our denomination toward a coordinated effort to impact our urban communities. Very, very important. And I've been praying for that again and again. We need a man of peace to speak to us. Okay. Well, folks, that's it. It's been like a rush through all this material. You have any questions before we break for lunch? I wish there was. And maybe we'll get there. You know, a lot of this is I learned from the School of Hard Knocks, and I travel a lot. I get the privilege of serving alongside great men like you, and I learn a lot from you. I mean, I take notes all the time. So a lot of it's learning. The best way to learn is to get out in the trenches. And I'll be honest with you, some of the best learning I have and best practice I learn, I go to the mega church executive pastors meeting every year. I get invited to Christian educators meetings every year, and I go to the mega church metro missions church meeting. Out of those meetings, there's so many churches out there. It's not just large churches. I learn from all kinds of churches. What's cool about that? These churches have the resources and the staffing and the passion. They're all around the world. They're making mistakes and they're having great successes both. And I love to listen to them because man, it's one of the best training and equipping you can have. You can see what's really going on real time out there in the world. It's sharing about the IEDs I talked about in the military, and I'm getting that. I get those three or four times a year, so I learn a lot there. And I told you about one in Albuquerque about the gospel stick. So the best way I could say, and what, wrap around to back what you're asking, the best thing, you can start that here. Keep a network of guys from seminary. They're going to go all across the country. Stay in contact. You're going to learn from each other. DOMs, my encouragement for you is do the same thing in your associations you probably already do. A state, have a forum, have a way for people to share what's working. Don't preach, just get to the point. You know, most times our meetings, we waste people's times. But if you sit there, I know that's probably I should have said it that way, I apologize. But I think if we'll get to the point and have people that are really in the ministry doing things and not preach, you can really get a lot accomplished. Anything else? Well, let me just say this. First of all, your time's valuable. And you could be anywhere you want to be. And you chose to be here. I hope and pray at least some of what I've shared will be of benefit to you. I pray that each of you will find not only God's will, but you will see a great, effective ministry. Do not forego your time with the Lord. Don't forego your time with your children and your wife or husband. Very, very important. Ministry, you can become very cynical very fast. It is hard work. If you don't surround yourself with good buddies that can love on you, jerk your chain, kick you in the rear, hug you, if you don't have that, it's going to be very lonely. So hold on to each other. We're in this together. We're out there to fight. We're out there to take the battle to the gates of hell. That's who I am. I make no apologies for that. I'm in the game. I don't want to sit on the bench. And so I ask you to join me. Let's get out there on the field. Let's take the battle and let's win these people for the kingdom. Let's win our cities for the kingdom. And then if I don't get to see you again, I'll meet you in the drop zone, as we say in the airboard. I'll meet you in heaven. So God bless you, and look forward to having some time along with you.
Appreciate you, Rich, being here today and sharing with us and talking to us about this topic. I am currently working with the International Mission Board on a research project related to urban case studies across the globe of church planters working among people groups. And right now in Southern Baptist life outside of North America as well as within North America, we are not doing very well at all in the urban context across the globe. And so we've got a lot to learn. There are several good books that are out there and articles that have been written on urban ministry, many geared toward established churches. But as far as urban missions, and particularly church planting in the urban environment, there's just not a lot of good information out there. And we can't, and though I think books are important and they need to continue on, I like what Rich said, it takes time for those to get put together and go to the market, you know, go to the press and go to market, and so to speak. And we need folks that are talking about it in real time. And so I've heard a variety of things today that I think are very valuable golden nuggets that we can take and run with and apply to our context. And one of which that I hope that you take back is not only just the issue related to networking with other folks within your communities to reach the cities, but also to think about this issue of best practices. What's working? What's not working? Let's also talk about what's not working. And let's talk about what's not working well, and let's ask why. And we need to be bold enough to do that and humble enough to do that, because many times we only want to talk about the positive things, but we need to be talking about here's why these things were not working, because other people are trying those things that are not working, and we need to get that out there. And so some of you are web savvy, and you can disseminate this information quickly through websites, through blogs, through podcasts, through just getting together over coffee once a month. But we need to figure out some way to do this, and it will begin in our local context first. Rich, thank you so much again for being here and giving your morning to us. Are you sticking around for lunch with us as well? Okay, very good. So if you want to have a chance maybe to talk with him over lunch, you're welcome to do that. Let me lead us in prayer for our meal, and then we will break, and they will come in, they'll set up, and then just help yourself as you so desire, and just eat and leave as you need to. Carrie, is there any information I need to pass along to this group? Carrie Plevin has put all this together and gotten this organized for us, so thank you so very much for doing that. For those of you that are interested in doing church planting internships in the urban environments, come by and talk to us in the Church Planting Center. We would like to figure out ways to put you under the wing of church planters that are out there in the field that can coach you and mentor you and supervise you, as well as to be able to get you involved in the Nehemiah Project down the road, even beyond that. Let's pray together, and we will break for our meal. Lord, thank you for this morning and for just the wealth of things that you have laid out before us about things that are working, things that are not working. Father, we pray that in light of these things that we've just heard over the past few hours, that we would really think through how to take these matters and apply them to our context. We recognize that not all these things are necessarily universal. But, Father, what are the things that we need to focus on in the cities where you have placed us for this season, for this time? Father, what are the things that we can do with other brothers and sisters that are in the cities in which we serve, where we can lock arms in prayer and networking and other approaches to doing missions in these environments? Lord, give us wisdom. Father, thank you for your grace to us. We pray that though we would be people of zeal, we would also be people of zeal and wisdom as well. And we pray, Father, that as we continue to spend time together over lunch today, that you would please bless this food and also our time together, and please bless those that provided this for us. We again ask, Lord, that the things that are now on our hearts and minds this day would not just fade away into the background over time, but would be used by you in our lives and in our ministries to see disciples, to see leaders, to see churches multiplied throughout North America and beyond. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.